So I'm going to talk a little bit at some of the challenges and strategies to implementing integrated approaches to worker health and well-being that have been experienced across different size organizations in different sectors. I would like to say that this is a bit of a work in progress that is based on the experiences that we've had in implementing integrated programs in organizations of different sizes and different sectors. I have no relationships to disclose, and by the end of this presentation, you will be able to do the following three things. I'm representing the work of the Harvard School of Public Health Center for Work, Health, and Well-being, which is one of four funded research centers of excellence by NIOSH. And actually, I just wanted to see if I know, so we're the center of at Harvard. Is anybody here from CPH New? Okay, hello, nice, that's one of the other funded centers. Martin Cherniak, who was supposed to be a presenter, is also from there. I see the Oregon Center is represented as well. So, welcome. And this is a schema of our organizational structure. And as you can see, we have three research studies that are currently using integrated programs in different sectors as well as different sized organizations. At work sites, sometimes there are very few programs for worker health, but in many work sites, they do have programs. And traditionally, this is how they kind of fall out, somewhat in silos. And if we start on the left-hand side here, you'll see that those kinds of strategies tend to be those that are more familiar and under the purview of worksite health promotion efforts. The next column is more those kinds of strategies used by occupational safety and health folks or in the health protection area. The third column is kind of a cross between occupational safety and health, especially around work organization, and human resources types of functions. And then the column all the way to the right is usually under the more typical HR types of activities. And rather than operating in silos, here's our vision of integrated approaches to worker health and well-being. It's a systems-level approach that links and coordinates the efforts of occupational safety and health, worksite health promotion, and the psychosocial work environment, which you'll see on the three sides of the triangles. We also say that integrated approaches, however, have to address multiple levels of influence, and you'll find those in the corners of the triangle: the physical environment, the organizational policies, programs, and practices, as well as individual behaviors. We maintain that a management system is necessary to drive this integration, and some of the steps in that process are indicated in these purple boxes. We also maintain that a strong communications plan is necessary, as is participatory engagement by employees. So, does it work? Research has found that these positive outcomes in this first bullet here have been found from using integrated approaches, things like improving health behaviors, reducing occupational injury rates, improving employee participation in programs. However, most of this literature describes large manufacturing organizations, and few studies have assessed whether implementation varies by size and across industrial sector, which led me to and led us to thinking about the research questions for this presentation. Are there differences and similarities across size and sector to implementing integrated approaches? And for this presentation, we're going to look at small and large manufacturing businesses and large hospitals. And if some challenges have been found to implementation, what strategies have been used by those working in integrated approaches to address those challenges? And then finally, what are some integrated resources for work sites to use? Now, before I go any farther, I just want to get a sense from the audience. How many of you are using integrated or comprehensive approaches to worker health? Okay, so this is kind of a new idea to... How many of you have heard of this approach before? Okay. All right, that's so you've heard of it. Okay, that's great. The methods used in this presentation are qualitative in nature and include a lit review that's focused on integrated approaches to worker health, in field reports from research and educational efforts from our center, process tracking data from research studies, documents review from websites, as well as the authors of Total Worker Health Centers of Excellence, and then a data review and synthesis using a triangulation process to come up with emerging themes was conducted. So moving into the results here, some top barriers were found to implementing employee health programs, and those in this left-hand column are some barriers that are typical in, you know, whether it's occupational safety and health, whether it's health promotion programs, or whether in either of those programs, as well as in integrated programs. I want to focus on that right-hand column, which is some of the barriers that we find especially in integrated programs. If you remember kind of the model that I showed of the triangle, one of the things that we're really trying to do and that one strategy that we use is to work cross-functionally. We try to break down disciplinary barriers and to get multiple levels of staff working together on these approaches. So we get supervisors, we get managers, we get employees to work together on this. So that one barrier that we've experienced is kind of these silos and turf battles, as well as a reluctance to engage in multi-level decision making. So when you bring people together from different staff levels to try to make decisions around and to participate in how in addressing worker health issues, some people might be reluctant to engage in that process, or they may be reluctant to actually act on the suggestions that were made in that process. There's also sometimes the fear that insurance claims or equipment costs may increase. Communication about integration is difficult in work sites. And while poor management and labor relations is a problem in any kind of worker health program, it may be specifically problematic for integrated programs where you're really trying to share decision making. The data showed, in terms of differences in implementation by size, that larger organizations, which I'm defining as 750 employees or more, are more likely to offer comprehensive programs as well as more programs. They also have more policies and environments supporting health. However, they also have more layers and complex decision-making systems, which make moving the initiative forward more difficult. They also have more employees spread out in multiple places and working at different times of the day and the night, and that makes it harder to reach the employees. Some good news about smaller organizations is that we have found that high-risk employees actually are more likely to participate at higher levels in integrated programs as compared with larger organizations. Smaller organizations have fewer hierarchical barriers, so they are sometimes more free to make program and policy changes. But they do have fewer resources and trained personnel, and they're also less likely to be self-insured, which makes it more complicated for them in negotiating changes in their insurance or vendor programs. So what about similarities in implementation by size? There hasn't been a lot of literature that has looked at comparing comprehensive programs by size and sector. The study that has looked at this is a study that was published in 2008 by Laura Linnan and colleagues that was a report of the National Worksite Health Promotion Survey, which the last one of those that was done was in 2004. And in that study found that in terms of similarities in implementation by size, the use of incentives is similar no matter the size of the organization. That's about, and Other data have showed that implementation, probably not surprisingly, is usually conducted by middle-level management, and that poor management and employee relations make it harder to implement integrated programs. How about differences, moving on to differences in implementation by industry? And the only study read in this area, again, was by Linnan and colleagues, and they did not find much differences in implementation between the sectors of this presentation, which are hospital and large and manufacturing businesses. We may have some interesting discussion later when we get to the discussion session about construction or potentially other sectors. But for this presentation, that article did not find any differences in implementation. However, some of the other data that were reviewed for this presentation did find a number of differences or perceptions, perceived differences by industry. First of all, that integrated programs may be more successful in manufacturing because the focus of safety in manufacturing is more on workers, whereas in hospitals, the safety by and large is more on the patients in the hospital versus the workers. Now, we also have also found that it may be harder to engage hospital workers in these kinds of programs. In manufacturing work sites, a supervisor or manager could theoretically shut down the line and say, okay, everybody's going to go, you know, do these programs. But it's harder in a hospital for kind of a unit to shut down. Gaining management support is also more complicated in hospitals. In large hospitals, multiple levels of management need to be engaged and really provide buy-in at every single implementation step. And again, I'm focusing on implementation here. In businesses, it is necessary to get multiple levels of management and, you know, unions involved in supporting it. But once you've kind of started the program, the experience has been in manufacturing that management isn't as involved as in large hospitals. In terms of similarities in implementation by industry, the likelihood of offering comprehensive programs is similar between the manufacturing professional services sectors. And the barriers were in the Linnan study were found to be similar. I would like to highlight, however, that two of these barriers that I've starred in the second bullet there have actually been found, and those are lack of employee interest and participation. Integrated programs are actually very successful at addressing those two barriers. So employees are much more interested in integrating, and they participate at higher levels in integrated programming. So what are some of the emerging themes then? Large organizations have more resources for integrated programming. However, complex hierarchies can exist that complicate efforts for implementing the programs. Smaller organizations may lack the extensive resources and programs that larger companies may have, but they have more flexibility to implement integrated approaches. Another theme was that management and labor alignment and buy-in are critical, especially in the implementation phase And size may matter more than sector, at least in the sectors that we looked at for this presentation, but more research is needed. So in terms of some common strategies some common challenges and strategies to address them, you'll see in the left-hand column the first challenge that kind of when you go to try to implement an integrated approach, people want to know how much time is it going to take and how much is it going to cost. The strategies that have been used to address that is really making a strong business case to management, getting top management not only committed but really verbal about its commitment and direction, and to get supervisor support, especially if you're wanting to, get workers to be able to attend things or to be trained on company time. A second challenge is breaking down these disciplinary and departmental silos. Top management direction can be important. However, it's not sufficient. One strategy that's been used widely is these kind of a cross-functional working group. If you think of kind of a health and safety committee that's integrated, not just addressing typical health and safety issues, but also health promotion and work organization issues as well. Those kinds of working groups not only bring people together to work together across departments as well as disciplines, but also get them involved. You get people from multiple levels of the workforce involved, which also helps to address the third challenge, which is lack of employee participation. We also have found that participatory approaches are very important for increasing participation. That kind of seems like a given there. And that integrated programs in and of themselves are helpful in increasing employee participation. Another thing that was pushed in the literature is training. Training of all levels of the workforce in how to do integrated approaches and participate in them. Incentives have been shown to be successful in increasing participation. However, they should not be punitive, and they should not discourage any kind of reporting from existing. And finally, a strong communications plan is essential to dispel any fears that may occur or any apathy. In terms of limitations, there are really diverse definitions of integrated programs in research as well as practice, and this is an area that I think we could come together and improve on. It's also a little bit hard to compare across some of the studies because of the definitions of size. Organizations might be different, and different articles also talk about different sectors. And the conclusions are limited to the small sample of sources reviewed. There are implications here for future work. More research is needed to understand the implementation of integrated programs by size and industry. I think we're at an interesting point in these integrated approaches, because we have been really building the kind of evidence base for do they work, but now I think we also need to understand a little bit more about how they work. Integrated trainings are needed for managers and employees, especially in small businesses, and integrated metrics of how we're going to evaluate this kind of work are also needed. Here's a beginning list of some resources for you to use to that talk about implementing these approaches. I will highlight the second one, which is our recently published SafeWell Practice Guidelines outlining our approach. It has a lot of links and tools embedded within, and it's available on our center's work site. It's also available through that last bullet, which is NIOSH's Total Worker Health website. I'd also encourage you to use that as well, because it also has a lot of links to other things as well. I'd like to acknowledge the co-investigators on our center, and especially Gloria Sorensen and Lorraine Wallace, who helped in this presentation. And a final thanks to NIOSH Total Worker Health, who funds our center. Thank you.